So we want to look a little bit more about what God says he's going to do. Let's go back to Isaiah 40. And as I've mentioned before, almost exclusively, and he does put in some historical facts here as well, and what he's going to do to Satan, but most of it is really about this great last day from Isaiah 40 on. And it's very, very encouraging. And when you actually do a study of it, you are going to be just extremely excited about this. And you'll see the love of your father that was given long, long time ago. So just starting here in Isaiah 40, he says, comfort you, my people, says God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, it's over, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And she's gone through it. She's gone through it, but now it's over. Okay. It says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepares you the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert and a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked place be made straight, and the rough places a plain. Now, we know from everything we've gone through, all this timing, when all that takes place. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. See, at his coming. And all flesh, this is all flesh, shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So it's going to happen. And all flesh will be resurrected on that day, and they will all see him, as we've just all covered. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And he says, all flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it, and surely the people is of grass. And that, of course, is what he was going to do to everything. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So all that first was taken away, but now God's going to stand forever. Verse 9, O Zion that brings good tidings, get you up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, and bring that bringeth good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. It's going to be a great time. It says, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Brethren, did you always wonder that God, Christ, is going to bring your reward? See, what you worked for? And he's going to bring, oh yeah, you're in heaven, but this is your works, this is your position. That's what we're taught. And he's going to bring your reward, see? Now, you don't have anything to do with it. He's going to bring his reward. And what's his reward? The great last day. Peace and joy forever. Forever. And his work before him. Yeah, his church. He was in charge of the church. He's going to bring that. The 144,000 are going to be right there with him. And then, of course, you can also apply this, his work for the next eons of time. And he's going to rule over this forever. Verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Not like the shepherds we've had on this earth. But he's going to do it properly. He shall gather. See, here's his gathering. He's going to gather the lambs with his arm and carry them into his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Brethren, he has love. He has joy. This is what he's going to do for all of us. In Isaiah 41, starting in verse 1. It says, "Keep silent before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength, and let them come near, and let them speak, and let them come near together to judgment." It's always about this time in the end here. "Who raise up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them the dust of his sword, and has driven the stubble to the bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet." And he's talking here about what is going to be happening. But when we come, we'll just carry on here. "Who hath wroth and done it, calling the generations from the beginnings, and the Lord the first, and with the last, I am he. The isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid and drew near and came." And this, of course, is what's going to start to happen. "They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage." These are the things that are going to start to happen. You know, that's different than what we had before. And down in verse 10, it says, "Fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my right hand, with the right hand of my righteousness." That's what God's going to do for all of the people. "Behold, all they that were..." I didn't want to read that. Let's see. I want to get down. I don't have the time to read everything. Verse 13. "For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you." And this is what he does. He really does this. Verse 17. "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water." This is what he's going to do. You can come back and read all of this. He continues on and on and on to tell you what he's going to do. And he's always mixed in here. He's always telling you what he's going to do with Satan and how he's going to destroy them and how much anger he has against Satan. While we're in Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 49. I'm just trying to give you an overview here of different things that he has said concerning this time, and that will hopefully pique the interest where you go back on your own study, and because you'll really get a lot out of this. I can't do it for you. I can just show you where it is, but if you study this with this knowledge, it will really, your heart will leap on this, because he's so detailed and he has so much love for what he's going to do. In verse 8 of Isaiah 49, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time," we've heard about this acceptable fast and the acceptable time of God, "in the acceptable time have I heard you, and in the day of salvation have I helped you, and I will preserve you, and I will give you for a covenant of the people, and establish," let me read that again, "and give you for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause in inheritance, or to inherit the desolate heritages." Yeah, well, it's all desolate when we come. And he's going to give us all that land, and all of Israel that land. "That you may say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat of the sun smite them, for he that has mercy on them shall lead them, Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. He's going to do this continuously. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of, wherever this land is, to sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth in singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. That's what he has for all these people. He's going to continue to do this over and over until all the nations are there with him. Isaiah 51, verse 11. And you have to get all the context in here. I'm just breaking into the thought. It says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. He's going to gather them and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. It's not going to be that anymore. It's going to be a very happy, happy time. Let's turn over to Jeremiah. I'm just picking up scripture here and there, trying to encourage you to go into this yourselves. Jeremiah 16, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That's what we say today. Is that, oh, no, this is the God who took, remember, Israel and brought them out of Egypt? That won't be stated as much. It says in verse 15, of course, everyone will always remember it, but it says, but this is what's going to be said. The Lord liveth that brought the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into the land that I gave to their fathers. It's talking about the great last day, bringing all the nations into all the countries where God had promised, and especially Israel. And Israel, of course, is always in the forefront. He does it with them first. Jeremiah 23. Try to take several things out of each book here. Jeremiah 23, verses 7 and 8. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord lives, which brought the same things. He brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries, whither I have driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land. God continues to tell you exactly what will happen. There's no ifs and ands or, oh, maybe if they're good enough. No, this is what he's going to do. He's just going to do it. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32, verses 37 through 42. It says, behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. These are all different little visions that Jeremiah is having, and God's telling him this over and over and over. You know, Jeremiah isn't stuttering here. He is being told this over and over. God wants us through our heads to know exactly what he's doing. Verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. We already read when that's going to happen. And I will give them one heart. He's going to give all mankind one heart, one way, that they may fear me forever. This is a good plug for another thing. Send in for the series on the fear of God. It's very interesting. Send in for that. Because it tells you exactly what will be placed within these people when he puts that fear, that they will fear him forever for the good of them and of their children after them. He's going to do this all for the good. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them. He's going to do it forever. To do them good. This is why he's got the covenant. To do them good. To bless them. But I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Send in for that series about the fear. I think there's three of them. And it's How Do I Fear God? I forget the other ones, but whatever. You just send in for that and you'll get it. And it'll explain a lot to you. It says, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. That's how God's going to do it. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. These are all these promises, and he's going to do it. And it's a sure thing. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. He speaks here in verse 4 and 5. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and their children of Judah together, going and weeping. I thought there was no tears. Well, no. There'll be tears in the great last day, but not of pain and not of sorrow. Tears of joy. They're all being brought back together. Going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces, looking toward that, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant, one that lasts forever, that shall never be forgotten. This is what we want to have done in this great last day. And in verse 19 and 20, and I will bring Israel again to his habitation. And he's going to feed. He's going to feed them in these different towns and the soul and upon all of this. And in verse 20, and in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. He's going to pardon all the sins, all the iniquities, all of that. It's all going to be done and over with. Turn back to Psalms. You know, Psalms is all the writings of the Spirit. Don't ever forget that. This isn't just David writing here. This is from all inspired by the Spirit of God. In fact, you'll find in Psalms a lot of prayers of Jesus Christ. Because it all comes from the Spirit. And unless the Spirit guides you in your prayer, then you're just saying nothing anyway. But the Spirit does guide you. And it always works the same way. And that things were written down here that Christ said when he prayed. But it was way back here in David's time. And that's another sermon. Or a group of them to go through. See, once you have the truth, there's so much material, you can't go through it all. You notice, we don't give any grow and overcome sermons like everyone else does. Be good, be like me, and then you'll get there. No. Be thankful that you're under the blood of Christ and God's going to take you there. And now, let's get into the Bible and learn more about God. That's what they forget to do. Psalms 68, you can read the whole thing. You get the context. I'm just going to take a couple of scriptures here in verse 8 and 8 through 10. Among the gods there is none like unto you, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto your works. This is Psalms 86, verses 8 through 10. all nations, this is where it talks about the nations, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before you. They're going to come and worship before God and shall glorify your name. The Bible can't lie. This is all nations will do that. For thou art great and do wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Really are. You know, you can continue to read here. I just don't have the time, but every one of us should read this from 11 through to 15 here, all of this psalm. And it talks about teaching and walking in his truth and unite, you know, my heart in the fear of his name. And come back and read that. All of this in the psalms is just fantastic. Go back to Psalms 22. We're trying to stay more with the nations here and what he's going to do with them at the end. Psalms 22. So I'm taking different areas of the Bible and showing you that it's all over. It's every place. It's not just in one spot. And this was his consistent theme throughout the whole thing. Psalms 22, starting in verse 27. It says, all the ends of the world shall remember. See, everyone will remember and turn unto God, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before him. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among all nations. He's that prince, he's that king over them all. He's going to make David the physical king and prince over all the nations. But he'll be under Jesus Christ. And they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. And all the new people who are born, they're going to be witnessed to and say, the Father's done this. The Father's done it. Here are all the witnesses to all of this. It's going to be a continual thing. And just a reference over in Revelation 15:4, it talks about all the nations shall come. All the nations shall come. God hasn't left out anyone on all of this. Okay, let's go over to Micah 4. See, we can go almost anywhere, and he continually talks about all of this. This, you know, is the great last day. That's why it's named the great last day. It's a culmination of everything. Giving you a little bit of the rest of the story here. In Micah, starting in verse 1. 1 through 7. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. They're not going to run from God this time. They're going to run to God. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law, get this, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Law still there, still going out, and everyone's going to do it. And he shall judge or rule among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. In other words, if there's any correcting to be done, he'll correct. But he corrects out of love. And it's not because they're sinning, it's just he's getting them in line. It takes time. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What a fabulous time to live. It's going to be wonderful at that point. look at what's going to happen when we have this great river coming out of that throne, the tree of life, giving all the 12 fruits of the month and healing of the nations. How is it going to be? Verse 4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. They're going to live in peace forever. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. And if he spoke it, it's going to be done. For all the people will walk everyone in the name of his God. And that's going to be Jesus Christ and God the Father. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Never be a time when anything is wrong. In that day, says the Lord, will I assemble her that and will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. Throughout all this time of Satan's rule, he's going to bring them all back. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And the Lord God shall reign over them in Mount Zion for henceforth, even forever. Always going to be there. And it's going to be good. It's always going to be good. You know, God also talks about some of these waste places. And so let's turn over to Ezekiel 36. It really is. It's just everywhere here. Let's see, Ezekiel 36. Let's see. Starting in verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, thy God, and when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. They're all going to see this. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols I will clean you. A new heart also will I give to you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart, that satanic heart, out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. See, the one that he originally created in there. The true, good human nature that God made, he's going to take that satanic garbage out of there. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from your uncleanliness. And I will call for the corn and will increase it, and I will lay no famine upon you. Everything is going to yield its fruit, and the nations are going to be healed, and the crops are going to come back the way they were originally made to be. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase the field, and you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. So the way Satan used to do it is not going to be that way. Everything's going to be good. This is how people are going to live forever. Then shall you remember your own evil ways. You're going to remember those and your doings that were not good. And you shall loathe and hate yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. And by all the goodness of God that's there, you know, that's what he does when he says to repent or change, be baptized. You know, God has to bring that to your mind. He has so much goodness, and the difference is so great that he doesn't have to come and bash people's heads in. They're just going to go, oh my, look what happened. Look what we were in. They're going to remember that, like we all have had to, even in this world. It says, not for your sakes do I do this, says the Lord. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. He didn't do it just for you. He didn't do all of this for you. He did this for a purpose. Thus saith the Lord, in that day that I shall have cleansed you from all of your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded. There's going to be these waste places. And the desolate lake shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land was desolate before. See, it was desolate, and is now become, because you're going to start working, you're going to start bringing this back. But this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities have become fenced and inhabited. We're going to rebuild all of that. The people will rebuild it. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I am the Lord that build the ruins of the places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. And that's what he's going to do. Thus saith the Lord, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. People are going to continue to grow, and people are going to continue to have children. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem, in her solemn feasts, feast days, yes, the holy days are there, thank God for that, always showing the greatness and the love of God. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. He didn't do it just for Israel. He's going to use Israel to build up all these waste places and these desolate places that have come from that the last plagues and all of that in the day of the Lord. And when the other people around the earth begin to see this and what God is doing and the beauty of all of this, they're going to see it's going to be a witness again for all of them. It's a slower process than we thought before. Yes, they'll all know who God is. They all saw him at that judgment. But it takes time to learn his ways. No one's going to be sinning before they learn it, but then they're going to learn it more and more. They're going to learn to appreciate the Father, and they're going to come to totally love him forever. And that comes by that teaching and the understanding of who and what God is. I'll just quote this in Isaiah 41:18. It says, that I will open the rivers and the fountains, and I will make the wilderness as a pool of water. And that's what he's going to do, and people are going to witness this and see this forever. Turn to Amos 9. See, we're jumping all over, but it continually tells the story. All these books tell the story. Before, we used to read it, oh, it's an insert chapter. Ooh, I don't know about that. Ooh, it's type, dual. It's a bunch of garbage, people. Know the plan of God and read the Word of God line by line, and you're going to understand it. You don't have to jump all around anymore. Okay, Amos 9, verses 14 and 15. And I will bring again the captivity. I will restore again the fullness, the former state of prosperity to my people Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land which I have given them, says the Lord your God. See? It's going to happen. God will gather them and build this earth, his kingdom, with his children. All of this earth is his kingdom. He's going to rebuild it. Going to rebuild it the right way, the proper way. No sin, no garbage this time. He will set up David as the king and priest of that physical head. There will be a physical temple. There'll be a physical temple there to offer all of the offerings that God has commanded forever to teach the people and to honor him by it. Now, I was going to include here, but you can see from lack of time, I have decided to make maybe a series of this about what the temple is going to be like in that great last day. And that's way too much to cover in to do all of this in one sermon. So we'll have that a little later on in the year. And we're understanding the offerings more and more and the meanings of what these offerings really picture and what they mean. And when we get to the time when we give that sermon, it's going to be an eye-opening event for everyone to understand why he has all these physical sacrifices during the great last day and has the priest do this. And he does, and it says he's going to do it. He says King David's going to offer for himself and then offer a sacrifice for all the people. So we'll be getting onto that later. And that's going to be, I'm looking forward to that because that's going to be an exciting series. The priests during all this time are going to be set up to help teach the people God's ways. We've read those scriptures before. And I'll have, like I said, a sermon on that. I'll just quote this very quickly. It talks about in Zechariah 8, 20 through 23. It says, this is one of the time when they're going to take the hold of the skirt of the Jew. And they're going to say, teach us, because God's with you. God's with you. And it talks about in Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 23. It says, talks about the Sabbath to Sabbath. We're going to keep these things from the Sabbath to Sabbath. And it says, all flesh will follow and worship me. We are going to keep the Sabbath and all those holy days. In Zechariah 14, verses 16 and 19, it says that you will keep the Feast of Tabernacles in this great last day forever. You're going to keep it. And now that we truly know from this year what the Feast of Tabernacles really pictures, because we really didn't know before. What an honor it is to know God's plan. What an honor it is. This is the law that comes out of Zion. Remember that scripture we read? The law is going to come out of Zion. This is it. The Ten Commandments, the laws, the statutes, the ordinances, the holy days, the very way of life, the very way of life that God is, which is all happiness and love and joy. You know, if you don't think, if you think, I can't even read my own notes here, if you don't know what God's holy days really mean and picture, you know, why keep them? And that's why some of the other groups aren't really keeping them, because they don't really understand it. They really don't. You know, thank God that we know this. And what an honor it is to know that. Now, what about Rachel weeping? You know, all those children that were killed. Was there any real hope for them? This is what he was trying to get across. Let's go back to Jeremiah 31 for the last scripture. And finish that scripture. And understand what that really, really is. Now, I don't have the time, but you can start reading there in verses 8 through 14. And it talks about how he's going to bring them all up again and bring them. They're all going to dance and it's going to be wonderful. But we have to concentrate here in verse 15. It says, thus saith the Lord, a voice. Now this is the original prophecy, okay, which the disciples or apostles told us from the holy word of God there in Matthew that was fulfilled there. Okay, that this was at least partially filled. So the voice was heard in Ramah, same thing, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were gone. And there wasn't any hope, and they didn't understand back then. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. In other words, this life and all of that is going to be rewarded. It's going to be done right, says the Lord. And they shall come again. Talking about these children. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. The enemy took them. Satan took them. They're going to come from that land again. Verse 17. And there is hope in your end. There is hope in your end, says the Lord, that your children shall come again to their own borders. They're going to come again. And yeah, there was weeping, but they didn't know. But we know, and God knew back then. And he says, your children are going to come again. And all the people are going to come again. Because this is the way I've done things. They will all come into God's kingdom. What a day that is going to be. All humans will cry at that time, but not because of pain and sorrow, not because of Satan's world that we've lived in. They will all be crying of happiness and joy. No, our Father said he will gather all people to himself. And he most certainly will, won't he? Brethren, go back and read and study in some of these books that we've covered. I've only been able to give you a little bit of that. The joy and the happiness that's found within the true writings of God are unbelievable once we know his true plan of salvation. So take this to heart. Be happy. There is hope. And there's a lot of things that are going to go on in that great last day. And you can read more about them and discover them for yourself in there. It's going to be an exciting time. So we'll use this as a supplement to the great last day as the rest of the story. And there's even more to come with it. And God's good way never ends, does it? So have a good week and come back here safely next week on the Sabbath, and we'll see you then.